Dear Lord, we're thankful for the gift of today, for the grace that you provide to us. Be with us now as we contemplate what the words of Scripture would guide us to understand, that you are with us, that you invite us to follow you, that your Holy Spirit will dwell among us as we walk in those commandments that you have given to us. Bless our time as we study your word this morning. We offer these things in your holy name. Grace to you all and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is still a portion of John's gospel that we've been in already. And now we're at that point in time where, if you could recreate the scene, and I think it's important that we do this, it's Thursday night, okay, what we would call the first Maundy Thursday night. Jesus has already done the meal. He's already given the disciples the Lord's Supper. They've already been through that. They're just about winding down the activities to take a step outside toward the garden. Now, it's a dynamic and amazing moment. You can just imagine that Jesus knows and is aware of what's going to happen. And yet, he's willing to spend that one last moment or two with his disciples to let them know that they're not going to be alone, that they'll never be cast adrift. They will never be made orphans. They will never really be alone. Now that becomes important for the disciples because they really didn't know what was going on. And we talked a little bit about this last week because this is a whole contextual issue, but Jesus is sharing with them again and again the understanding that, okay, it's that time, I'm leaving, I've got to go, I've got to do these things, I'm not going to be around. And the disciples just consistently biff that, they consistently miss it, they just don't understand what Jesus is talking about. And as a result of that, they're relatively what we call clueless. Well, we don't know where you're going, Jesus. Show us. We'll go along. It'll be a party. You got to bring sandwiches? Can we have some fun? No. Philip, in the whole process, when Jesus is talking with him, he says, oh, well, I tell you what, all this talk about the Father, why don't you invite him over so we can meet him? It's like, duh. You miss it. You miss it, boys. You miss it. And Jesus is dealing with them, and he's trying to show them and trying to understand it as best he could. He probably had holes in his tongue for all the time he's had to buy them with the disciples around. And the reason is they just wouldn't take the time to understand what Jesus said. And so one last time, just before he's set to go out to the garden, down the Kidron Valley from where they were in the upper room, and then just not that far, probably from here down to the depot. Okay, just that little bit of a distance out to the garden where he would be taken prisoner. And we all know what happens Good Friday, we all know what happens Easter Sunday, but this is this magical moment in time. And Jesus is trying to share with them a couple of key points, and it summarized quickly. The first phrase of the gospel reading this morning is incredible. It says, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. Jesus is just, he's giving believers their marching orders, as it were. If you really love me, do as I do. Do as I did. Follow him as an example. If you love me, then do this. I'm not an English teacher, but it's a prepositional phrase, if then, or what? There's a proper name for it. I don't know what it is. Anyway, what's important to realize is the fact that it's conditional. You do this, then this will happen. The reverse of that condition is the same thing. Don't do this, this won't happen. Now that's just pure brains. Even I could figure that one out. And I'm not that gifted. But one of the things that we, what we need to realize in the process is that Jesus is trying to share with the disciples a way in which they can begin to learn how to walk in faith, trust at the time when Jesus isn't there. This is forward reaching to a group of people who we're present day in the moment only kind of time frame for them. So as they were just concerned about this moment and what's going on and all these different things Jesus is saying, then he goes on a little further. So this whole idea of keeping the commandments, following what Jesus has done, doing that as well. Then Jesus goes on, he says, I'll talk to the Father, and he'll provide you with another friend. Now, in other versions of Scripture, I chose this one for the message this morning because it really speaks to it the best with the word friend. Other will call it the paraclete, others will call it the advocate. It's the Holy Spirit. But friend really kind of gets that message across. Two things to consider: another friend, okay? One of the things that gets missed in Scripture a lot of times is we miss these little tiny words that modify other words, and as a result, we miss the story. Jesus is our friend, stays our friend, will always be there. Another friend, the Holy Spirit, will come and be with us and bless us and gift us with even more understanding. And we will be able to be in a spirit, share in the spirit of truth. We'll be able to fully understand what is going on because Jesus is opening that up for us. And you know, you just imagine the moment Jesus is saying this. And I'm just blown away by the fact that Jesus could keep his cool in the midst of all of this. To willfully know that walk out the door of the upper room, it's only a matter of minutes, and boom, the whole shebang started. But Jesus is sharing this with us, and he wants us to realize he's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us orphaned. We're not going to be all by ourselves. We're not going to be trembling in any way, shape, or form. We've been given the gift. He's shown us. Part of what we believe, teach, and confess in the Lutheran Church is that Jesus is God, is the Lamb of God. He is God incarnate, God made flesh. In other words, we've seen him. Now, we haven't seen him, but others like us have seen him and bear testimony to that. They've had a chance to see what Jesus was all about. And what was he about? He was about things like love. He was about things like caring for each other. He was about things like he didn't let societal standards or religion get in the way of anything. He reached out and touched people and said, you matter. You make a difference. You're important to me. He didn't pick up a stone and throw it at the woman who was on the edge when the rest of the gathering were all set to kill her for what she'd done in her sexual immorality. No, instead, Jesus said, hey, here, go and sin no more. You're forgiven. Go and sin no more. No judgment zone here. No way in which Jesus was going to get down on there on this woman's case. And there's time after time. He tells the story of being neighborly. Well, what's that neighborly stuff all about? And they say, well, Jesus, I sort of get it, but I sort of don't. Who is my neighbor? And he tells us one of the greatest stories of all time, and that's the Good Samaritan. The last person in the world you would ever think would be helpful to this Israelite man who'd been taken over by thieves, mugged, beaten to death, left on the side of a rocky road. The last person who you would think would ever do that, cross 1,000 tracks, 1,000 social strata and stigma, was this Good Samaritan. Jesus says, hey, that's what being a neighbor is all about. Do it that way. Countless times throughout the New Testament, we see Jesus telling us, Jesus showing us what it means to walk in the Father's grace and the Father's love, to be reflective of that. And countless number of times, he set the model and the example for us. And he's taken, as we've talked a number of times, he's taken the Ten Commandments, condensed them down to two. I like that kind of methodology. Love God with your whole heart, your whole being. Just let God infatuate you with your life. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, granted, the Ten Commandments are important to our understanding and our faith, and they guide our lives every day. But if we could just not deal with the ten and just deal with these two, I know for myself in my life, I don't follow those enough. I don't love God with everything. I don't trust Him completely. I'll come to Him in prayer and say, God, yeah, but I know you're the big guy up there, but it's time you listen to my ideas, because my ideas are better. I hope your prayers don't sound like that, but you know, somewhere along the way we get that. Somewhere along the way we get this methodology in our head that we just ask God for everything. We ask God for toys. We ask God for everything in the world. Well, by the way, Lord, fill up the bank account. Oh, Lord, the Powerball didn't hit last night. Come on, help me out this week. Wednesdays are coming, and I need my bank account full. A couple of you are laughing. I appreciate that because you know exactly what I'm talking about. But we think that way, and we get to that understanding that that's what our relationship with God's all about. We make the demands, and He answers them. We expect all of these things to happen at our beck and call. But that's not loving God. That's dictating to God. And I think we need to do a better job of that. And then loving your neighbor as yourself piece, what would Jesus do? What did Jesus actually complete? How did He live His life? No strangers, no social barriers, no gender bias difficulties along the way. He was free to talk to a woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Good grief. You're not supposed to do that. Number one, you're not supposed to talk to women like that. But a Samaritan woman, what's going on, Jesus? What are you thinking? Jesus is thinking, all God's people. There's nothing that gets in the way. Wish I could do that. Sit in judgment. I sit in judgment. You know, this is a confessional for me. The 15 times between coming over from our house and put the cord over here, I said evil things about the drivers around me. I may not have vocalized them, but I certainly saw it real quickly. And you know, like I'm a good driver? Heck no. But I think I'm better than they are. And, you know, that kind of methodology spills over into our lives. We think we're better than everybody else. And that's not what Jesus is expecting out of us. And that's not what He's telling us will happen. No, He's been there for 3 years, roughly, leading them, guiding them, teaching them, showing them. And now He's kind of intimating He might not be around anymore. So what are they going to do? They're going to have to make their own decisions. You know, it's fun when you're with a group of people. What do you want to go to lunch? Well, I don't know. What do you think? Well, I don't know. What do you think? Well, I don't know. Well, what's your favorite food? I don't know. You know, back and forth. No one's willing to make a decision. And the disciples always let Jesus take the lead. When He's not there anymore, what are they going to do? Jesus is saying, keep on doing what I do. Stop. Keep my commandments. Love one another. Be graceful to each other. Show God's love in the things that you say, in the things that you do. Live it out. Show it. Is that what scripture? Is that what it says? Yeah, show it by doing what I've told you. Don't think about it. Just do it, exactly. And one of the things that we in our faith life today encounter across denominations is people get this wonderful head knowledge. I know the Ten Commandments. I'll never do them. But I know them. And that's because of faulty church structure over the years. And I was part of this whole thing. I was teaching the Ten Commandments to the confirmands and they all. It's a checkbox. You learn that? Okay, did you get it through? Did you write it down? Yeah, okay, good. Stamp of approval, move on. Did we ever teach somebody how to do that? No. It's easy to throw around a thou shalt not steal cookies from the cookie jar. It's easy to say something like that, as you what comes off your face, right? It's easy to do that. But that's not what Jesus is suggesting here. He's not saying it's a mental exercise. It's a life exercise. It's a trust exercise. It's living our life all of the time, all of the ways, as we keep his commandments. Trusting, loving, praying, befriended by him, befriended by the Spirit which is coming and is going to give us a whole new understanding of what it means to not be alone, so that we might live life exactly as Jesus did. Now, to be careful what we ask for. Jesus had a kind of untimely end, according to anybody's definitions around here. And ours might be the same. But we're not going to be concerned about that, because Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. He guides us. He gifts us. He lets us go to where we need to be. And he's with us each and every step of the way. So if you love him, show it. And if you're not showing it, somebody's going to do the math on Judgment Day. If that's not a man-made construct made by Jewish mothers somewhere that want to make sure their kids toe the line, Judgment Day is coming, you better behave yourself. But if it's the fact, and when we walk up in front of the Almighty, he says, did you live it? Could somebody see it? Could they tell it by the things you did, said, and lived by? And if you said, well, Lord, I think so, and you lay out the things that you've done in your life, maybe yes, maybe not. So Jesus, I think, is not here to pound people and stretch the imagination. He's saying, live a life of love. Be just. And that's what we pray God gifts us with, because we're so far removed from that moment. We're so far removed from the way it was to the way it is now. But we are armed with that same gift of the Holy Spirit. We're armed with the same gift of Jesus' love. We're armed with the same examples of what it means to walk in faith with him. And that's what we do each and every day. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for the fact that you call us to be your servants, to walk with you, to live like you, to engage in a process, to share your love with all we come in contact with. Lord, we fail at this miserably. We focus on ourselves and our hurts and our needs, and we tend to forget what you have done for others as a great example for our life. Lord, help us by your power, by your grace, by your Spirit's blessing to realize we are never alone. We are always with you. You walk with us. You hear our prayer. You lift us up when we are at our weakest moments. But you also model for us what it means to live life better. You also model for us what it means to live life in an exciting and brand new way, a way in which the world can't see, doesn't want to see, won't look for it. But instead, as we engage in this countercultural understanding that you give to us, we are blessed by your presence, held in your tender care, and we thank you for that gift this day. Be with us, Lord Jesus, in all that we say and all that we do, that we might live into the love that you have first given to us.